All right, am I on? Can you hear me? Okay, that's good. All right, let's take a deep breath, shall we? Oh, when we were singing, it's your breath in our lungs. It just really reminded me of the moment that Adam was created out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed his breath into him. Everything that he needed, not only to live as a human being, to have breath, to have life in him, but actually everything that God had in him, he breathed into Adam as well. His DNA, his character, and everything that he needed to live a godly life, like we read in 1 Peter, was breathed into him. And we can take that breath in. Every time we're taking that breath in is a reminder that this air that we breathe comes from our Creator. Okay, I thought I'd start today with a joke. And actually, when I picked the joke, I realized that it's got a lot to do with what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about squirrels or nuts. But how can you catch a squirrel? Does anybody know? With nuts. Okay, but how do you attract them to you?
Like squirrel call.
Squirrel call, that's right. Okay, so actually what you do, you climb up a tree and you act like a nut. That's all you need to do. I haven't tried this yet. Okay, but if you do, let me know if it works. Okay. Yes, we want to share it on Facebook. That's right. So God is in the business of attracting people to him. Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, and actually the people he attracts to him, he makes them become attractive to others. And then we join in the business of attracting others to the main attractor that is God. And like the squirrel, if you want to catch a squirrel, you go up a tree and act like a nut. Paul did a little bit of that, didn't he? If we look at 1 Corinthians 9, it says, when I'm with those that who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Okay, so if God said to you, for you to share the good news, I want you to climb up a tree and act like a nut. Would you do that? All right, can we have the next slide, please? So if you want to have a title there for my talk this morning, it is called The Power of Attraction. So we are going to read from John 6:44. It says, the words are in red, so you know that Jesus is speaking. Okay, every time Jesus speaks, he speaks in red, in some Bibles. it is the previous one. Sorry, Pokong. Yes, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. So let's understand a little bit of what's happening here. This is John chapter 6, but let's backtrack a little bit to understand how, everything came to this bit in John 6:44. In John 6, we read about the feeding of the 5,000 by the Sea of Galilee. And then, people want to crown him king. Jesus skedaddles to the mountain, all right? People are trying to force him to make him king. And then at evening time, the disciples get on the boat to go to Capernaum and are met by a great storm, and they fear for their lives. Jesus shows up. He says, it is I. I would highly trust on someone who would come to me and said, it is I. Wouldn't you? Or maybe, hey, it's me. It's me, mate. No, it is I. There is authority there. I would highly trust in someone who comes to me and says, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, this passage is actually recorded in Matthew and in Mark. Only Matthew really records, this is the very same passage that Peter steps out of the boat and walks on water with Jesus. For some reason, it's not there in Mark or in John, but I just really love this side note that we have in that passage. It says that the moment his disciples willingly received him into the boat, they immediately arrived at their destination. I think there's something about inviting Jesus to our boat and getting immediately to where we need to get to. So whatever situation you might be going through at the moment, can you just check Jesus is in the boat? Because if he's swimming beside, that's no good. Help him up. Bring him up. All right? Put him on the boat. And not just, you know, to clean the deck or anything, but to be the captain. Okay? That is not really what I'm focusing on this morning, but let's carry on. The next day, Jesus delivers one of his hardest teachings. He says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. As a result, the Jews went crazy. This is too hard a teaching. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay, you with me? That's good. I'm with you. Now, looking from the beginning of the Gospel of John, from the beginning of the book, we hear we read everything that Jesus was doing at the time, and then crowds were attracted by everything that he did. Right? In chapter 2, he turned water into wine. Those that were that witnessed, you know, the miracle and were sober enough to understand that, wow, that is amazing. They really saw something about this Jesus dude. And then in chapter 4, the Samaritan at the well, when Jesus meets her and tells everything about her life, and she goes back to the village, and then, you know, a crowd, you know, surrenders and gives their life to Jesus, spends a couple days there. In chapter 5, that's the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And in the early days, Jesus would attract huge crowds. And with this teaching in John 6, he's risking, you know, losing his entire fan base. He's going to lose the crowds because this teaching is too hard. And in fact, in John 6, 66, I'm going to read it again. John 6, I'm going to say it again, 6, 66. I'm not into that numbers and stuff. But anyway, this verse says, they went back and walked with him no more. They couldn't take that teaching. Too hard. Jesus was left with... how many? 12. After that event, there's a shift in Jesus' ministry because then he has to start avoiding certain place because the Jews want to kill him. Jesus is not afraid of dying, of course, but he knew that he had the hour appointed, selected by the Father to die. So then he begins avoiding certain places. All right, can we go to the next slide? So the next slide is pretty much a little bit more context into the one I just read before. Still read, Jesus speaking. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. If you have your Bibles with you, you can check that in John 6:54, we read the requirement for being raised up. That verse says, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up." What is the require for raising, being risen up? According to John 6:54, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. You want to be raised up?
Yep.
Risen up on the last day? Eat his flesh and drink his blood. So Jesus is speaking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And jumping to the end of that section, everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Do you want to get closer to God?
Yeah.
Learn from him. Listen to him. Do what he tells you to do. Read your Bible. The Word of God is what attracts us to him. And Jesus himself, he is the Word of God, isn't he? The manifest Word of God. Okay, so if you're home listening to this in the comfort of your armchair, having a cup of tea at home, I'm just going to explain what's happening here. I have a screwdriver, some screws, and a magnet. I hope this works. So I was reading a little bit about, there's something called the law of attraction. I don't know if you ever heard of this. So it's a sort of a new age kind of thing, positive thinking. But yes, you can dismiss it and say it's all rubbish, but actually I was reading a little bit about this, and in the nutshell is you tend to attract whatever you're choosing to focus on. Focus on God. You will attract him. Or whatever it is you're focused on, you will attract whatever it is you're focused on. Damaged people attract damaged people. Yes? People who were abused in the past, somehow they have this magnetic field around them and they attract abusive people. Isn't that true? Kristen Donner says, love in broken ways. So this talk is not a recipe really to teach you how to avoid those kind of needy and draining people. Okay? Not to break free from the power of attraction. Jesus actually was a real magnet, you know, to those kind of people. And yet, he didn't have any of those issues. He was not broken. He was not needy. He was not sick. And the list goes on and on. Yet, he attracted all those kinds of people to him. And it was nothing to do with physical attraction. Because we read in Isaiah 53 that there was nothing attractive about his appearance, no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3 says, we did not esteem him. And the message actually reads, Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was come. So people, there was no attraction about Jesus. People were not attracted to him in that sense. But I begin to think, as I was reading this, I was thinking that actually the attraction was the other way around. Jesus was attracted to those people. Because of his love for them. Because of God's love for them. Jesus was sent on a mission to love and to rescue. Love them and rescue them. It was not like a mission like military tactics. You know, go in, do your job, come out. But that mission was imprinted on Jesus' heart. He couldn't help but love. He couldn't help but rescue the lost and the broken. And we are attracted to him because he was always attracted to us first. That's why we love him. He loved us first. Right? In this attraction, because of his love for the, you know, for us, Jesus is attracting us to him and therefore making us attractive to the world. Again, nothing to do with appearance, okay? The day I became a Christian, nothing changed in terms of my looks. I think I just put on weight. But, I was on a very different diet before I was a Christian. Now, do you want to reach the nations to God?
Yeah.
Fall in love with Jesus. Okay. Do you want to reach out your coworkers or your loved ones that don't know the Lord? Yeah. Fall in love with Jesus. And you will become attractive. Right? Okay, so we're going to try and see if this works. You probably did a little bit magnetizing yourselves at home, like nothing to do. Oh, what am I going to do today? I'm going to magnetize stuff. it's funny because once you magnetize these, one of these, you've done that, son? Bored, what am I going to do? Yeah.
What would it do if I do it on the TV?
All right. So I'm not an expert, and I'm saying I hope it really works because I tried it at Wilkinson, but I didn't try it at home because I was reading about it. Once you magnetize it, it can stay magnetized for 3 years minimum and 200 years. So I left a magnetized screwdriver in Wilkinson shelf for 300 years probably. So I picked a different one. I checked that it's not magnetized, as you can see there in the camera. Well done. Very good. Now, magnets are objects that produce a magnetic field. Can you see it? Can you see the magnetic field? Where's the camera? No, you can't see the magnetic field, but you see that it does attract. Okay? The magnetic field is invisible, but it's there. So it attracts other materials, other magnets, attracts certain magnets, repels other magnets, and also allows certain materials to become magnetic. That's amazing. No. It is. That's right. Go to Wilkinson and find that screwdriver there. It's attracting everything to it. Now, these materials that can be magnetized, they are placed in two different categories. Some of them are magnetically soft. They can be magnetized, but once they magnetized for long, maybe 3 years. Magnetically hard, also known as permanent magnets, can remain magnetized for a very long time, 300 years. This is also called, they're also called strong attraction. Here's something interesting, something else very interesting about magnets. A good permanent magnet produces such a high magnetic field that it can remain stable against surrounding influences which try to demagnetize it. There's a sermon there. Isn't there? Strength in the midst of trial. What's the word here? Resilience? Very good.
Portuguese?
Resiliência. Yeah? Luigi, help out? No? No? Okay, I'm sorry. Now, what happens? We're going to give this a go. If it doesn't happen, blame the magnets. Okay? And I'll go to Wilkinson. Wilkinson's this week. Find that screwdriver and bring it here next Sunday to show you that it really works. But what happens is we have this completely demagnetized screwdriver, and we have a magnet, and we start rubbing it. Can you hear it? That's right. You start rubbing it in one direction, okay? And you spin the screwdriver around. And what's happening here? You can't see. There's like, what are they called? Microcrystalline. There's a microcrystalline structure inside here that all the crystals are being aligned to the magnet. So there's an alignment happening there. Another sermon. Everything in here is coming. All the crystals are coming into alignment, you know, according to this magnet. Okay, I'll say a quiet prayer. See if it'll work. Oh, come on. Oh, maybe it's the magnet. I used a different magnet at Wilkinson. Ah, I should have got that magnet. Ooh, look at this. Hey, thanks, Pokong. So Pokong just brought me a speaker.
So we don't have any PA anymore, but we can pick up. Yeah.
Oh, look at this! Very good. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's see if we'll be magnetized for 300 years. We're going to have sort of a 300-year reunion in this place to see if it's still magnetized, okay? Yes. So... Has anyone ever seen one of those stones? It's a rock, it's a stone, but also it's called a lodestone. It's one of the very few naturally magnetized materials, you know, that we find in nature. They're also called coarse stones or leading stone. And it was very useful in the beginning of, in the early days when they, in navigation to make compasses. So they will use, lodestone. So Jesus, he makes me think that Jesus is not only the cornerstone, but the lodestone.
That's another sermon.
That's another sermon. Here we go. All right, can we go to the next slide, please? We'll carry on with the words of Jesus. Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And the next slide, please. Skipping to verse 44. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Now the Father sent the Son into the world to attract people to him. Through the cross, one of the most cruel instruments of torture at that time, through his Son, who came as a man who had no traits of physical attraction, no earthly appeal, no looks, no wealth, no earthly power. And then skipping to the to John 12, 32, which I believe is the next verse. And when I am lifted up from the earth, he was talking about his crucifixion, I will draw everyone to myself. Now, there is power on the cross, power on the death of Jesus. to draw souls to Him. Can you remember the first day you were drawn to Him? He's still attracting you. He's still wooing you. He's still into bringing you closer and closer. But there's a day in your story that was that first attraction, that first moment. Can you remember that? If you need a bit more time, I'll just... Or maybe if you haven't had that moment, we would love to pray for you in the end. I think for me was in 1998, I think. And as I said before, I had been on a very unhealthy diet. Not only the things I ate, but I was really into, drinking and taking drugs. And for 5 years, I just really battled certain addictions in my life, and I really wanted to break free, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. I had ups and downs, and I cannot really only blame my friends, but they were the crowd I would hang out with. But one day, I think it was a weekend. It could have been a Friday or Saturday nights. I was so frustrated with this battle. I was this losing battle that I was in. That I used to go out with my friends, and I just didn't really have fun anymore because I just wanted out. So I remember this. We were going somewhere. Certainly we were up to no good, and they were in a group of maybe four or five walking, just ahead of me. And I was walking a few steps behind. And I was like, oh, here I go again. Same old, same old. And suddenly I had this picture. I could see myself from above. And I heard this voice. Not audibly, but I heard it in my heart. And I knew that it was God. And He said to me, are you going to keep on following these guys? Or are you going to turn around and follow me? On the spot, I need to go, guys. I'm sorry. I'm going. From that, the next day, everything I was into, I was just not into anymore. Something miraculously happened that my diet changed. If you know what I mean. It took me years until really I could go back and, spend time with those friends again, but I was really in a much better place, and some of them were able to, to hear my testimony and everything. But the Father is in the business of attracting souls to Him. He is. And in order for others to be attracted to Him, He is magnetizing us, right? To attract others to Him. I don't know how many I can magnetize. Well, I just use the big one. I'll just use the Father. Yeah. Look at this. See that? Oh, it's not on camera anymore. Hey. And the Father in all His splendor, His glory, His holiness, and the list goes on, allows for a breach in His consuming, raging glory that surrounds Him in order to draw us in. He allows for a breach in that magnetic field that no one can get in, but He allows us to come in, to come closer, and to be attracted more and more and more. And you know that He works the other way around as well? It could be in the next slide, Pokong. I don't know, click the button, see what happens. Don't click the red button, but just... No, oh, that's it? Okay. But it's in James 4:8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The Father is attracted to us as well, to spending time with us, to intimacy, to having intimacy with us. Isn't this amazing? I find it amazing. I find it amazing that I can go to my room, I can close the door, I can sit on my chair and attract the creator of the universe to come and spend time with me. That's awesome. I think we need to respond to that. So I don't know if when I asked you the question to think back of that moment that you know you were first drawn by the Lord. If you haven't had that experience, this could be a great day to have that. Just to say, God, here I am. Pull me into your amazing, loving, magnetic field. Or if you've just had enough. You're too far out in the field and you want to draw closer. Feel free to respond this in every way you want. Okay? I think in the end, we can pray for you, whether it's something to do with this or something, related to healing or anything. We would love to pray for you. But I think for now, if you want to come to the front, if you want to be where you are, if you want to lie down on the floor, Pokong is going to play a song. And, I just want to invite you to just let your guard down, let your walls down, and just say to him, Father, I'm easy today. Come and get me. Come and attract me closer to you, Lord.
Your love is so much stronger.